wash reveals what the filthy car could become. We see toxic organizations in their true colors when we contrast them with excellent companies. For instance, Mark has told us about the differences between two of his workplaces. After high school, he worked for a small electrical company where the other two workers were alcoholics, and the owner cursed the employees from daylight to dark. He hated going to work, and says if he hadn't found another job, he would have ended up abusing alcohol like the other employees. In contrast, when Marcus met with the hiring committee of his current employer, the chairperson told him, "Our job is to make sure you succeed. If you are a success, we are a success." Marcus has, for the past 11 years, experienced what he calls an amazing and supportive environment that promotes success. Unfortunately, toxic organizations are the ones that most often make the news. Media constantly feed the public reports of greed and exploitation, resulting in people's belief that most executives are self-centered and unprincipled. Yet, it's not at all hard to identify leaders of strong, positive cultures. An executive named Craig, who represents his company's products in several states, told us he feels fortunate to work in an atmosphere of mutual trust where employees are valued, listened to, and fairly compensated. The past several years, as market shifts and downturns created extreme pressures on his company, he was more appreciative than ever of its stability and integrity. How did his company resist letting its beliefs slide so it could survive a cratering marketplace? Craig painted this picture for us. "It all starts with our CEO. He's aware 3,000 employees depend on him and our organization's living up to its stated values. We have the freedom to work as best works for you. That's huge. We're told, find out what works based on your skill sets and go for it. I'm on the West Coast, and what works here for me and my teammates wouldn't work nearly as well in our offices in New England. Our leaders don't micromanage. The fact is, one of our vice presidents who did was let go last month. He was a micromanager at heart. Yes, organized, and in some ways an effective leader and a good guy, but he couldn't help himself from trying to control everything. For years, our leaders helped him function. But eventually, our commitments to give people freedom to grow and do things their way clashed with his micromanagement. The breaking point came when one of his direct reports quit over it. Our leaders made the tough decision to let him go in a careful and compassionate way, but it's always painful. Yet, it opens a place for someone who more naturally fits. It's all about our culture of trust. In sales, gray issues arise."